This film has been modified from its original version. It has been edited to run in the time allotted and for content.
On a blue background, film strips tumble and land left and diagonally on a black square. Light radiates from behind. The background shrinks into a circle around the square. Words appear, New Line Cinema, a Turner Company. White letters on a black background. New Line Cinema presents a larger-than-life production. Looking up, glass-surfaced high-rise buildings jut into the pale blue sky in a conference room.
So Lombardo depositions have been moved to Thursday.
Good.
Bankstead needs you to file the discovery briefs in Himmelstein.
Fine.
And your fiancé wants to know if you signed off on the newest draft of the vows.
Yes. No, file whatever she wants.
Oh, great. You got the continuance in Petremco Oil. Mark says we'll have to redraft the Olson petition for jurisdictional issues, and the caterer suggests adding a seafood station to the buffet.
What kind of seafood?
Shellfish, I believe. They could circulate more canapes.
No, it's fine. Tell David it's only a reply brief. Have Pickering handle the Petramco deposition and find that Oklahoma president in Himmelstein.
Right.
Oh, and call that furniture guy and tell him my desktop is supposed to be in burl, not onyx.
Burl.
Antique burl with a satin finish.
Got it.
Outside, a dark-haired man walks in front of 12-inch high letters, Whitfield and Morris. Inside, a sandy-haired man hangs a diploma behind his desk. Words appear, trial and error.
Hey!
Charlie, this is unbelievable! Wow, this place is big enough to drive a car around in, huh?
Woo!
Boy, look at this view.
Yeah, I know.
Wow! Look at this, what do you got here?
The helicopter flies by.
But that's not mine.
Oh, I see.
Hey! Yeah, there they go. Man, when'd you get in here?
A couple days ago.
Wow, what was it, a wedding present?
No, they made me partner.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's even better, huh?
Thank you very much.
You got the big desk.
Yeah. Why don't you,
yes, of course, indeed.
The dark-haired man sits behind the desk.
And another thing, Higgins, you're fired.
Yeah, I had a pretty good audition, too. Some big agents. They really liked me, Charlie.
You didn't do your mafia thing.
On a bare stage.
So that's the way it's going to be, huh? You're going to put Mo on me and Sal on me. Yeah, well, come on. Give it to me, Mo. Sal, come on. You guys are good at that, huh? Huh?
Come on! Oh, yeah!
He pulls his arms back and smacks against the wall.
Why shouldn't I do the mafia thing?
You should,
Charlie.
You should.
It's good.
On the stage, he collides with the opposite wall. His head whips from side to side. He falls. His hips raise and bang into the wall. He clutches his stomach.
I loved her, Tony.
He lies motionless. In the audience, a man and a woman turn to stare at each other.
It's good.
Rick, Tiffany's going to be here any second for lunch. I really don't...
Well, I want to go over to the bachelor party.
What?
The bachelor party.
Oh,
official
right.
Duties of the best man.
Oh,
this thing is hilarious. I have to provide you with shelter, and I have to meet your emotional needs leading up to the nuptials.
Hello, Ricky.
Ricky hands Charles a brochure.
Hello, Tiffany. Well, I gotta say, you are already looking... And with so few days to go, I think you're peaking at just the right moment.
Thank you.
But is it too soon to kiss the bride?
She glares at him.
Yeah, we should wait. Yeah.
Charles,
yeah.
If you don't decide in a boutonniere right now, they're not going to be able to make them up in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that means there are not going to be any boutonnieres at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I'm going to relate to you in a way that Dr. Perlstein told us to avoid.
Right. You don't want that.
Could we,
Oh, I'm sorry. You want some privacy? Yeah, you go ahead.
I'm really very worried about this, Charles.
Doctor, I have known Richard since I was 9 years old. Okay, now, he may not be the most tactful guy in the world, but he's decent and he's reliable, and he's not going to do anything to ruin the most important day of our lives.
Ricky drops the law book he has been thumbing through. He fumbles, replacing it.
But okay, he may not be totally reliable, but he is thoughtful. Well, he can be thoughtful. Look, he's my oldest friend in the world, and I really want him to be my best man.
My father hates him.
Hey, I'll deal with your father.
Charles!
Yes, sir?
Hi, Daddy.
Follow me.
Yes, sir.
A Jonathan Lynn film.
Paradise Bluff? Excuse me, sir?
I need you there by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And where is that exactly?
Nevada. Some pathetic little cow town.
Michael Richards.
My wife's cousin got indicted for fraud.
Jeff Daniels.
Guy's a creep. But Edna's got this family thing.
So what, you want me to defend him, sir?
No, Tuttle, a continuance. You'll be in and out of court in 5 minutes.
Well, what with the wedding and all, sir? I mean, you know, there's the caterer, there's the band, there's the boutonnieres.
Screw the boutonnieres. I need this to go away. It's a family matter, and you're family now.
Outside the building.
Listen, Ricky, I hate to tell you this, but something's come up.
I really can't do that bachelor party now.
What?
I gotta go out of town tonight. It's a business thing.
Where?
Paradise Bluff, Nevada.
But the bachelor party's tonight.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, Ricky. We can't do the bachelor party.
Oh, Charlie.
I know.
Come on. I planned a whole bachelor party.
We'll do something after the honeymoon.
That's not the same. Look, do you want me to throw you a party?
Sure I do.
Really?
Yes.
Because I need to know that. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Yes, please. Throw me a party. Okay, I gotta go.
Narrated by Nicole Parsons. A red convertible speeds on a two-lane road by a rusted sign. Welcome to Paradise Bluff, Nevada. Charlize Theron, Jessica Steen, Austin Pendleton, and Rip Torn. Screenplay by Sarah Bernstein and Gregory Bernstein. Directed by Jonathan Lynn. A lone motorcyclist rides through yellowing brush, trailing a dirt cloud. Charles sees a woman in a halter top and black helmet as she passes a gap in the brush. She speeds away as the dirt cloud removes her from view. In the hotel room.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
Charles catches an inflatable doll.
What's going on?
It's your bachelor party.
Please, I can't.
Come on, we drove halfway across the desert.
We had to drive like hell to VG.
Come on, Charlie. If it weren't for me, all you'd ever do is work. One drink.
One drink.
One drink. One drink.
Come on. One drink. One drink. One drink.
Hi, boys.
Hi.
So we'll have a picture of Barbie 52s all around.
There you go.
I'll have a Shivas, please.
You'll have a Shivas. Yeah.
Ricky checks his wallet.
Yeah, Shivas. What the heck?
I'll have one, too. Everybody out there.
We're out of Shivas.
What?
We're out of Shivas.
You're out. You're a bar.
How about a Manhattan?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Do you want a Manhattan or a Paradise Manhattan?
Whoa, I like the sound of that.
Damn, my friend, a Paradise Manhattan.
Okay.
And shots and sets for the rest of you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Jim, you know how to make a Manhattan?
No.
This is great.
Behind the bar, the waitress drops ice into an old-fashioned glass. She half-fills the glass with whiskey and tequila. She tops it with rum and grenadine. She finishes with a red cherry and paper parasol. She dips her fingertip into the drink and tastes. She smiles and nods.
You know what? This might be the best Manhattan I have ever... You know what it is? I'll tell you, it's unusual. That's what we should get some more of these.
You want another one?
I think we can.
All right.
Another one. Real soon.
Party's on.
At the bar, a woman with light brown hair drinks from a coffee cup. Ricky leans against the bar.
I really hate this, don't you? This whole ritual. And what do I say that doesn't make me look like some kind of jerk just trying to pick up on you? You know what I miss? TV. Just lying on a sofa with someone watching TV. Popcorn, blanket. But sometimes I think that intercourse is overrated. You know? Because I'm a hugger. I could hug, I could kiss all day long.
She smiles into her cup.
This isn't quite it. It's good, though. I don't know, maybe a little sweeter.
That's my slot machine.
Hey, no one's playing it back
off. I was on the mic.
Okay. Whoa. Hey, easy. Maybe I could be some help here, Bob. Pal, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but the law is on his side. Prior use of the machine is not determinative of possessory interest.
Are you a lawyer?
Yes.
The two men punch Charles. He falls on the table, upsetting a bowl of popcorn.
Did you see that? Aggravated assault! That's 4 years in the state pen!
Fade to black. Charles is in bed with an ice pack on his head.
Oh, Charlie, I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah, don't forget. Doctor said give him one of these every 3 hours.
Yeah, okay, I'm not gonna forget.
Hey, we gotta go.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, you guys take it easy. Drink a lot of coffee.
See you later, man.
Yeah. Ricky takes the medication and sets the alarm.
Court tomorrow? It's just a continuance.
I know it's just a continuance, but the doctor said, come on, Charlie, will you lay back? Now, look, we'll see how you're feeling tomorrow morning, all right? Remember, you gotta take three of these every 3 hours. Right? Mm. Okay. Mm. Give them there. Mm.
And I set the alarm for you.
In the morning, outside the hotel. Through the open weave curtains, Charles, still in bed, stares glassy-eyed with a slight smile on his face.
Charlie, how you feeling, man? It's almost 9.
Don Fernando has many cattle.
What?
Are these all the women of your tribe?
Ricky checks the medication. It's empty. The convertible parks in front of a two-story cream-colored building with flags flying from the columned portico. Charles winces as Ricky in a white sport coat exits the car.
Okay, Charlie, we're here.
In a white-tiled bathroom.
You can't work today.
No, I should be.
You should do it for me.
Yeah. Look, why don't I just go and explain?
Yeah, no.
Charles pulls Ricky to the floor.
What? Whitfield, no.
Whitfield, what?
Whitfield. I can't to Whitfield, but the bar fight.
I know.
This is my whole life. Okay. Career. Oh, Ricky.
Charles pulls himself up by a dangling linen towel.
Come on, we'll rehearse it again, huh? Say it with me. Your Honor.
My Honor.
Your Honor.
My Honor.
My client.
Your client.
My client.
My client.
Your Honor, my client requests.
Client, my Honor, you request.
Charles releases the towel and sags to the floor. A painting of a covered wagon and mounted riders fills a wall in a wood-paneled room. Ricky enters wearing a blue suit coat, white shirt, red tie, and blue jeans. He carries a black leather briefcase. He stops at the swinging gate and looks up to see a black-robed judge who sits behind a raised desk.
Turtle?
Oh, yeah.
Ricky steps over the gate.
Yeah. I'm Ben again.
And approaches a man with a goatee.
Appreciate you taking my case.
Why don't we sit down, okay?
Kit Kat?
No, thank you.
It's chocolate. I'm a little nervous. What are my chances?
Ricky pours a glass of water.
They're good. Excellent.
You done many of these?
Well, I'm just filling in for today. Yeah, we're going to get you an expert in your particular area of crime for the actual trial.
A woman enters carrying two brown briefcases. She nods to the judge and sits at the prosecutor's table. Ricky glances at her, then does a double take. It's the woman from the bar. She sees him. They stare at each other.
Mr. Tuttle. Mr. Tuttle, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to proceed.
Good. So proceed.
Right, yeah, of course.
Your Honor, my client requests a continuance.
Okay with me, okay with you, Counselor.
No, Your Honor. No more delays, please. 8 counts of fraud in the last 10 years. Mr. Gibbs has yet to spend one night in jail. He hires these big city lawyers who think they can waltz in here and play games. Your Honor, the people come here today prepared for trial.
All right, then.
Request is denied. We'll go ahead as planned. Jury selection begins at 2 o'clock.
Well, if it isn't the hugger.
At a cafe. Charles sits at the counter in his t-shirt.
You what? How could you do that?
Well, what was I supposed to do? You were passed out on the floor?
You said you were me.
It was just one lie. It was a walk-on, Charlie.
Oh, God. Do you know what this means? Do you know what you've done?
You were lying there, man. I was trying to cover your rear. Why don't you just go and explain?
What? Explain what? That I was in a bar fight and that you represented a client of the firm's in a court of law? In front of a judge? What are you... That's a felony, Richard. That's 1, 2, 3. That's 4. Four felonies. That's fraud. That's conspiracy to commit fraud. That's obstruction of justice.
What? Hey, can we get some water here?
Hey, you okay?
He needs some water.
No, he needs a paper bag. Lloyd, give me a paper bag.
Charlie, relax.
Calm down, sweetie. Breathe. Okay, just calm down. Everything's okay. Here you go. Just calm down. Okay. Oh, okay. Just breathe. Calm down. In and out. In and out. Just breathe. There you go. There you go. That's it, sweetie. Just breathe. Feel better?
Oh.
Good.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. But it's decaf from now on, okay?
Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Boy, that Manhattan must have really worked. I'm the waitress at the hotel.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
So what's your name?
Richard.
Yeah, his name is Richard. It's Richard Rietti.
Richard Rietti?
Yeah.
Nice name. I'm Billy. Billy Tyler.
Oh.
Feel better, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Charles looks after her, then wrinkles his brow.
You're just lying in general now?
No. I said I was you. Now you get to be me. You're Richard Rietti, another lawyer. You come with me to court, we'll straighten this whole thing out.
I gotta be you?
It's a special assignment. Very hush-hush. But I'm leaving you in good hands. My associate here is also our expert in deceit. Fraud. Yeah, that too.
Are you ready to proceed with jury selection?
We are. Good afternoon, Mrs. Sussex, correct?
Yes.
Mrs. Sussex, have you ever purchased any items by mail?
Mr. Tuttle, who's he? I have only you listed on defense.
He's my associate, Your Honor, Richard Rietti.
Richard Rietti? I have no pro hoc vice petition for a Richard Rietti.
Oh?
Your Honor, may I approach?
Why don't you? And bring your bar card, Mr. Rietti.
Charles reaches into his breast pocket, then freezes.
Now, Mr. Rietti.
Your Honor, I wasn't aware that an assistant needed a bar card.
Assistant? You said associate.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
The judge points to the court reporter.
Associate.
Oh. Well, the lady says associate. I apologize, Your Honor. I misspoke.
Why is his assistant voir direing the jury, Your Honor?
She looks at Ricky and raises her eyebrows. He looks from her to Gibbs, then to the judge.
Sit down, Mr. Rietti.
Ricky sits.
Your Honor.
Sit down, Mr. Rietti.
Ricky pops up. Charles sits.
Proceed, Mr. Tuttle.
Knocking over a trash can, Ricky climbs over Charles. He retrieves the papers and hands the can to Charles. Charles replaces it under the table. Arms behind his back, Ricky approaches the jury.
So Mrs. Sussex, wasn't it? Mm. Yes, okay, Mrs. Sussex. State your name, please.
Virginia Sussex.
A little louder, please, and remember that you're under oath.
I am.
Mr. Tuttle.
Well, let's just say that you're in a court of law.
Virginia Sussex.
Good. Good. Very good. Okay, Mrs. Sussex, Virginia. And what qualifications do you feel you have for jury duty?
Outside the courthouse.
Crackerjack.
She thinks she's up against Tweedledum and Tweedledee. You throw them off balance and then kapow. So, what's our kapow?
You want to share our kapow with our client?
Everything's under control, Mr. Gibbs. Why don't you go get a cup of coffee, yeah. See you back here in, say, half an hour? Okay, excellent. We're in good shape here.
Just kidding, right? We're not really in good shape.
Charles clamps his lips together and shakes his head.
Because they think that I'm the lawyer now.
He nods.
Well, how the heck am I going to keep being the lawyer?
Excuse me? Mr. Tuttle and his assistant are here to see you.
Tell them I... Send them in.
Thank you.
Charles and Ricky enter as the receptionist tries to leave.
If you're here for a plea bargain, you can forget it.
Well, don't be so hasty, Miss Gardner. Here is how. Mr. Tuttle, I almost forgot. Didn't you have to call your office?
My office? Mm-hmm. Call my office? Oh, God, yes. Oh, no. Miss Gardner, can I use your phone?
Ricky tips precariously as he sits in her swivel chair.
Yeah, Irene. Richard, I have to take this. You and Miss Gardner can handle the Gibbs matter, right? Yeah, Irene, tell the guy at Ford, if I don't have the retainer by Friday, I'm representing Chrysler and we'll see them in court.
Miss Gardner, Mr. Tuttle realizes, as I'm sure you do, that the case could drag on for days, weeks even.
Excuse me. You were the one that was practicing law without a license, weren't you?
I'm as familiar with this case as Mr. Tuttle is.
That's true. I'm just filling in for a sick colleague back at the firm. Yeah, Irene, send a muffin basket to Jacoby at Cedars-Sinai. Oh, I don't know, $1,200, $1,300. Yeah, he's Jacoby's assistant. He knows the case. You two go ahead. Yeah, work it out.
What is your offer, Mr. Tuttle? I have a meeting in 10 minutes.
Hold my calls, Irene. Well, we want to be fair.
Fair? And what do you think is fair for a man who's been preying on the sick and the elderly and the poor all his life?
Well...
Behind her, Charles holds up 6 fingers.
6 years.
The maximum's 5.
I know that. You asked me what I thought would be fair. If my client were guilty, which he isn't, but if he was. Bottom line, 6...
Charles points down.
Weeks.
Charles covers his face.
Though I'm pretty open at this point.
Ricky puts his hand on her shoulder.
Oh, I really hate this stuff, don't you? I mean, you're on one side, I'm on another. I mean, can't we get around this law thing?
You're touching me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. See, that's what I'm talking about. There's this barrier. We can't even have human contact. I mean, can't we work this out like 2 very mature adults? You tell me, what would you like to see happen here?
I would like to see you turn and walk out of my office.
In the courtroom.
Hundreds upon hundreds of unsuspecting consumers paid $17.99 for a copper engraving of the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln. For their $17.99, plus taxes, plus shipping and handling, this, ladies and gentlemen, is what they got. A penny. Now, common sense and the laws of the state of Nevada will tell you this is fraud. And the people will prove that that man, Benny Gibbs, is a master at it.
In the car.
Mr. Whitfield, sir, I'm coming home.
Well, because it's gone straight to trial and I'm getting married on Sunday.
You know, maybe you can get somebody else to... What, defend him? No, sir, it's not that easy. He doesn't appear to have the highest level of, innocence. No, neither do the rest of our clients. I understand that. That is why I went to law school, sir. I'm not scared of some little trial. I just... He hung up.
They head back to Paradise Bluff.
You know, you plan, you work, you build, and then whammo. one moment, one tiny moment, one split second of indiscretion.
God, this is all my fault.
No kidding.
I was trying to help.
Pull over, okay?
Hey, listen, how about you just write me some lines? Oh. You tell me what to say, I'll play the stuff out of it.
3 years of law school, 2 years of clerking for a federal judge. You think you can fake that?
Yeah, you remember when I did Inherit the Wind at that church at Cerritos? He who inherits the dust shall inherit!
Charles glowers.
Oh, man, how's that line go again? He who inherits... Oh, come on, Charlie. I promise, we'll figure something out.
It's not just something, Ricky. It's a defense. You think you can figure out a whole defense?
Okay. Okay, how about this? Immunity. We structure a deal wherein Gibbs will work with the feds. He'll use his inside knowledge to expose other con men throughout the nation.
Wherein? Did you actually say wherein?
Well, what do you think? Immunity?
On the porch at the hotel.
I think it is the most staggeringly idiotic idea I have ever heard in my whole life.
I can't talk to you anymore.
Ricky shoves food in his mouth.
Charlie, that's it.
What?
That's our defense.
A Twinkie?
In a law library.
It's right here, Charlie. People versus White, 1981. They argue temporary insanity because Dan White was eating Twinkies the day he killed those guys. He had a sugar high.
That was different. Dan White committed a single act of violence in a fit of rage. Our client has been systematically bilking people for over 40 years.
So?
So, it's not the same thing. No one gets a sugar high and commits mail fraud.
Hey, this stuff is cumulative. It builds up in your system. Let's say you eat two of these things a day for 40 years. Where's all that sugar gonna go? It's stored in your fat cells, man. It gets released. Drip, drip, drip. You're like a morphine addict.
Richard?
All right, just follow me a minute here. Benjamin Gibbs is a junkie. He's chemically dependent. Wait a minute. Benjamin Gibbs is a victim.
Oh, here we go.
No. He's a victim. He's held hostage by all the junk food corporations of America, enduring years of torment in snack food hell.
I want to kill myself.
All right, what else have we got? We lose. So what if we lose? It doesn't have to work, Charlie. Just has to be a defense.
Charles works at a laptop computer. Ricky uses a black marker on the white inset of his shoe.
So all these people are experts?
In varying degrees.
That's if they don't agree with us.
Well, trust me, if we pay them, they'll agree with us. Have you taken a look at the opening statement yet?
Mm-hmm. It's locked in.
Really?
Your Honor, and ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
In court.
Fraud involves deliberate deception or trickery. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply that the prosecutor must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that my client, Benjamin Gibbs, intended to commit the crimes of which he's been accused. But over the next few days, the defense will prove conclusively that Mr. Gibbs never acted with intention because of one indisputable fact. Mr. Gibbs does not have the capacity to tell right from wrong. And through the testimony of a nationally renowned psychiatric expert, we will show that Mr. Gibbs was, in fact, incapable of normal, rational thought. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it's up to you to see that justice is done.
Charles closes his eyes and sighs.
Justice.
His eyes snap open.
You know, whenever I step into a courtroom, I think of something a great law professor of mine once said.
Charles glowers. His lip twitches.
But that can wait for tomorrow. The important thing to remember is that that man over there, Benjamin Matthew Gibbs, is insane.
Insanity. Terrific.
Yeah, a little improv, but most of it was totally yours, and they ate it up.
No more ad-libs, Ricky. I mean it.
Okay, fine. So when's our expert coming?
tomorrow after court. Assuming we survive court.
They stop at a gas station.
Look at that, Charlie.
The motorcyclist passes at a distance through the sandy brush landscape.
It's like a dream going by.
They watch her white and black bike cruise past. She disappears in the dust cloud. In the hotel.
Black coffee?
Hang on, Tiff. Yes, please. Thank you.
So, what do you do anyway? You're bookies? Eat like bookies.
He's a lawyer.
Oh, so what do you do?
I'm an actor.
Wow. That is like the greatest job in the whole world. I mean, just to be able to change yourself like that. You must feel so free. You have to sign that.
Oh!
Charles signs the check.
I think I'll save this. Might be worth something one day.
He watches her swaying hips on TV.
You know, folks, at the heart of every trial is a performance. And the heart of every performance is the truth. When you walk into the courtroom, you're the actor, you're the director, you're the producer. And if it's going to be a great performance...
Ricky takes notes. He dresses. He puts cue cards with legal terms in his briefcase. In court.
It was him. He's the man.
We bought 10 of them. Irma, that's my financial whiz of a wife. She said they'd go up in value. Same as the Bradford exchange plates. Invest now. $200, she says.
Objection, Your Honor. That's hearsay.
Sustained.
Charles holds the cue cards under the table.
Did you go into your savings? Into your nest egg?
Objection, Your Honor. She's leading the witness.
Objection is sustained.
Mr. Crabbitt, how much money did you send Mr. Gibbs?
Over $200.
And what did you get for your $200?
10 cents.
Nothing further. You'll witness.
Charles leans back and clamps his mouth shut. Ricky leans towards him. Charles shakes his head.
The defense has no questions at this time.
You are excused.
This is all I got.
The jury leans forward to see pennies in the hand of the witness.
Your witness.
Does the defense wish to cross-examine?
What the heck is going on here?
Can I ask anything?
He's right, I look like an idiot. Give me a couple of questions.
No.
You wish to cross-examine Mr. Tuttle?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Just a couple of questions.
Charles stares wide-eyed.
Hello, Mr. Norman? Can I call you Buck?
The witness scowls.
Mr. Norman, what was your impression of Ben Gibbs when you first met him?
I never met him.
Oh? Thank you. And if you had, would you have bought anything from him?
No.
No, is that because he looks crazy?
No.
What, you're saying that he doesn't look crazy?
No.
Right! You can't say he doesn't look crazy, can you, Mr. Norman?
Objection!
Sustained.
They burst out of the courtroom.
Don't you ever, and I mean ever, pull a stunt like that again!
What are you talking about? He was contradicting himself on the stand. I was this far from destroying him.
It made no sense.
Jerry Spence, as a trial attorney, must construct his own reality.
Jerry Spence?
Charlie, the jury loved it.
You're crazy. Nobody in a real courtroom falls for that kind of melodramatic garbage.
Hey, man, nice work in there.
So, how do you want me to play it with a shrink?
Just be yourself. All he wants to know is whether you can tell right from wrong.
Hey, why don't you put me on the stand? I can sell the jury anything you want.
We
Yeah, that's a very interesting approach, Ben.
Could we confer for a moment?
Mr. Gibbs, excuse us for just a second.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Now you're encouraging my client to perjure himself?
I did not.
Act great. There is no way that I'm putting Gibbs on the stand.
Charlie, I know this guy. He's got talent. I mean, if I work with him a little, maybe he really didn't have any criminal intent.
No criminal intent? What are you, an expert on the penal code?
You're an actor.
He's a crook.
Hello? I'm Dr. Brown.
They see a short young man wearing wire-rimmed glasses. In their hotel room.
He's a kid.
He has a degree
in counseling. He's not even a real doctor.
Look, I had a day to find somebody and get him up here to Paradise Bluff, Nevada.
Wouldn't you feel a little bit bad if Gibbs went to jail?
No, I wouldn't. He's been swindling people for years.
At least get him a real psychiatrist.
Listen to me. Dr. Brown says his piece, then we close and get out of here.
But you saw that guy. He's walking around with a Melvin and a huge zit on his nose. I can't win with that.
Can't win?
Wait. Did you just say you can't win?
Can't look lawyerly.
We don't want to win, Richard. This isn't about winning. This is about not getting lynched!
A buckskin jacket hangs on the coat rack.
What the hell is this?
Jerry Spence has never lost a case, Charlie. Never!
You think that's all there is to it? You think you put on a jacket and that makes you a lawyer?
It's not the whole character. It's just a window into what I'm working
on. Not a character. It's not a role. It's me. It's my career. It is years and years and years and years and years of hard work.
You're very upset right now.
Upset? Let me tell you something. If you screw this up, Richard, you won't just get a bad review. You'll ruin my career.
Just get a bad review?
This is my life. I am a member of the bar in three states. I was the associate editor of the Law Review. I don't pose. I don't preen. I don't put perjured testimony on the stand. I don't make a mockery of the American legal system.
Well, you got your style. I got mine.
No, you got nothing. You've got nothing. You got a SAG card and a rent-controlled apartment in Santa Monica. That's what you've got. You're in over your head, Richard. You don't have the equipment for this.
I don't have the equipment for this. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
Forget it.
Now, what does that mean, I don't have the equipment?
Charles taps his temple.
Fine. Where are you going?
You'll see.
In the bar.
Jackie, hi, it's me, Richard.
On the phone.
Listen, hon, I need you to do me a really big favor.
In court.
In the course of the interview, I noted a marked tendency toward paraschizophrenic behavior. And no, I do not feel Mr. Gibbs can distinguish between right and wrong.
Thank you. Your witness.
Dr. Brown, how old are you?
Charles shuffles the cue cards.
Objection, irrelevant.
Sustained.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Where were you when Kennedy was shot?
Objection.
Fine. Withdrawn. Dr. Brown, what exactly is wrong with Benny Gibbs?
He has an associative form of reality-based psychosis.
Ah, thank you for clearing that up. Could you tell the court, please, what studies you've done? Papers you've published, lectures you've given on this disorder?
Per se? None, per se.
Then how many not per se?
Not per se? That would be none also.
Thank you. Nothing further. Thanks, Counselor. Great witness.
Mm-hmm. Ricky makes faces at her.
Does the defense wish to redirect?
Charles checks snow on a pad.
No, Your Honor.
Dr. Brown, you are excused.
A woman with long streaked hair enters.
Does the defense wish to rest?
No, sir.
Charles circles yes.
Your Honor, if we could have a short recess. A witness has just arrived who really can clear up the question of Mr. Gibbs' sanity, his personal physician.
What the hell are you doing?
The woman stands next to Gibbs and opens a packet of sugar.
It's perjury. This is perjury. She can't go in there and put on perjured testimony.
What perjury? Gibbs just hired her. She's a licensed physician.
Mr. Tuttle, court is reconvening, sir.
Licensed from where? From where is she licensed?
I hold advanced degrees from the Mind-Body Institute in the Philippines and the Crotona Healing Center in Taiwan, where I studied with Dr. Chow Lee.
I see. And have you published any articles or given any lectures on biochemistry?
Oh, yes. I lecture on my books. May I? It's a series. Refined sugar and you. Fatty foods and you. And pesticides and you.
I'd like these items entered as defense exhibits A through C. Furthermore, Your Honor, the witness has brought in some sample items from Mr. Gibbs's pantry in this bag. May I have them collectively entered as defense exhibit D?
Any objection?
Miss Thoreau, tell us about this food.
May I stand?
Sure.
Now, looking at his diet, you see various red meats, saturated fats, sugar, chocolate. Look at all this chocolate.
Mm. And did you examine Mr. Gibbs this afternoon?
Yes. After administering a standard glucose tolerance test, I found that his blood sugar levels were abnormally high.
Go ahead, Ms. Thoreau. Why don't you explain?
As you can see, the chemical composition for table sugar is C12H22O11. That's how Mr. Gibbs' brain reads the sugar puffs, the chewy bears, and the jelly beans. Now look at cocaine. C17H21NO4. And give or take a nitrogen. This man's on drugs.
So, in your expert opinion, it would be safe to say that you are what you eat.
Objection!
You can't object!
Recess! The defense calls for a recess!
Get him out of here!
No! Ask for a recess. Ask, Your Honor!
Proceed, Mr. Tuttle!
Please! What? Your Honor, I apologize. Please, let me back in! Let me back in!
The bailiff escorts Charles outside.
A witness.
Charles races around the building and sees a ladder to the roof.
Exactly how long have you been Mr. Gibbs' doctor?
Objection!
Ricky rifles through the cue cards.
Leading.
Overruled.
Vague?
No.
How long have you been treating Mr. Gibbs?
Not long.
How long?
I started today.
Charles is on the roof. He opens a ventilation shaft.
Doesn't this chart show that the difference between the chemical formula for sugar and the chemical formula for cocaine is 5 carbon atoms, 1 hydrogen atom, 7 oxygen atoms, and 1 nitrogen atom?
Sure, but that's virtually nothing. I mean, how big is an atom?
Charles crawls through the shaft. He looks through a grid. He moves on.
Mr. Ryan, you must have an amazing talent. Can you bend spoons, too?
Argumentative.
Ricky looks up.
Argumentative?
Sustained.
Mr. Rowe, you have been treating Mr. Gibbs for less than a day.
Ashton answered.
What?
What?
Nothing.
So, Mr. Rowe, how long do these diagnoses of yours generally take?
Not long. Take you. The whites of your eyes are tinged yellow. You had alcohol last night, didn't you?
Not just one glass.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. The tight, dry skin and dark circles scream circulation. You need to irrigate, Miss Gardner. Cut out those 3 to 4 cups of coffee. They constrict the vessels.
Thank you.
I'd say your cholesterol is around 280, your blood pressure around 150 over 105.
Your Honor.
I'd guess the PMS hits you really hard.
Your Honor.
Ms. Thoreau.
A good colonic would flush out most of those poisons.
Ms. Thoreau, limit your answers to the questions asked.
I am.
No. Counsel asked you how long diagnosis takes.
I pegged her in 38 seconds.
You didn't peg anybody.
That's badgering. Quiet! Quiet! Nobody breathe! I will have order in my courtroom!
Charles shifts his weight and falls through the ceiling, landing on the table and breaking it. Ricky helps him up. He shoves Ricky aside.
Mr. Rieti?
The defense rests! The defense rests!
Mr. Rieti, you are in contempt of court.
The defense rests! The defense rests!
Get out, Mr. Rieti! And if I ever again see you within 100 yards of this courthouse, you are history!
silent! The defense rep! The defense rep! The defense rep! The defense rep! The defense rep!
Both bailiffs drag Charles from the room. The judge tears at his graying hair.
Mr. Tuttle, proceed.
In light of the circumstances, sir, perhaps a short timeout?
No! No! Clean it up! Sweep the floor! We are going to proceed! I don't care if the whole roof comes down!
98, 99, 100. You see that? No further.
The bailiff walks back to the courthouse. Charles stands in the street and stares down. Billy, her blonde hair pulled back in a clip, drives her topless truck through town. A portable radio is attached to the dashboard with wire. Charles sits covered in white dust on the curb outside a drugstore. Blood trickles from his nose. Townspeople stare at him. Billy stops.
Richard? What happened?
I fell. Far.
Oh, you're bleeding. Just pinch your nose right below the bridge. It cuts up the capillaries. Let me take care of that.
She helps him up and leads him to the truck.
Here you go. Nope, this way. Here you go. You okay?
Oh, yeah.
She hops in through the tailgate and hands him a cloth from a basket.
Here, use this.
She makes a U-turn and heads out of town.
Oops. I got all the time in the world.
He rides, pinching his nose.
Got a sweet loving daddy's new girl.
She smiles at him. He notices a yellow crescent moon and three stars are tattooed on her hip. A laundry basket is in the bed of the truck behind her seat. A copy of Leaves of Grass sits on the clothes. They drive past horses running alongside the two-lane road.
By time they say it's a dangerous thing. You never know.
The road rises and curves through rocky terrain. Craggy mountains, painted with snow, rise in the distance. She pulls off onto a dirt road.
You live here?
Can't beat the rent. Come on.
In court.
Did you study nutrition in an accredited college?
No.
Science? Medicine?
No.
Dr. Tarot, may I call you doctor?
A janitor sweeps under Ricky's feet. A lone trailer sits in the desert.
I was on my way to Berkeley when the tire blew out. I was going to get a master's in astronomy. I'd rather look at stars.
I don't understand. You didn't go to grad school because you got a flat tire?
Yep, here, drink this fast.
No, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Richard, where to?
He points away. Then sits in the open doorway of the trailer.
I think I know just what you need.
From above, a junkyard of rusting car chassis and appliances. She drives up. From the truck bed, she takes a pump-action shotgun and a box of shells.
Okay.
What are you doing?
You'll see, the porcelain's fantastic.
Be careful with that.
Relax. I do this all the time.
She aims at a toilet bowl.
It's like a meditation. I tanked it! You want to hit the bowl dead center. Here, try.
No, I don't believe in guns, you know. I don't even like to, you know, be around them.
You must have to if you're an actor. I mean, you must have done shootouts and things.
Well, I'm not that kind of actor.
Well, what kind are you?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what was the last thing you played?
She offers the gun.
A lawyer.
Oh, like your friend.
No, nothing like him. No, this lawyer was, stable.
Stable?
Yeah, stable, respectable.
His finger tightens on the trigger.
Very respectable.
A toilet explodes.
He had everything. 37th floor office, boss's daughter, a future, big, bright future. Should have seen a ring. 4-carat center stone. Stemware. Flatware. Service for 12. Her engagement photo was in Town and Country magazine.
Pieces of pipe jump and fall.
So it was a love story.
That's right.
With one hand, he aims the shotgun.
A love story.
Another toilet bites the dust. Ricky works with a laptop amid open books. He looks out the window, then goes out on the balcony. The cyclist's dust trail becomes larger as she nears the hotel. Wisps of her hair escape from the helmet. She passes, then fades in the golden afternoon sun. Charles returns wearing torn jeans, a plaid shirt, and a leather jacket.
Oh, there you are, Charlie. It's worrying about you, man. It's Randy.
Drummer. Lived with Billy for a while.
Oh, you're with the waitress.
Ricky, have you ever wondered where everything ends up?
What?
Like toilets, or tires, or auto parts, you know? Sometimes it only takes one little thing to push us in one direction or another.
Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
It was my kindergarten teacher. I was 4. She said I was too advanced for my class, and so they skipped me a grade. I didn't want to be skipped, but everybody acted like I was so special, and pretty soon I was working even harder to get skipped all over again. And that, my friend, is how you end up in the junkyard.
Okay. Sit down.
It's a chain reaction. First valedictorian, then Yale, then Yale Law, then the clerking in the Ninth Circuit. Then it's the right firm. Gotta have the right firm.
Charlie.
Then it's flatware and crystal and an organdy china pattern.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, why?
Because tomorrow she's gonna put on a rebuttal witness, and I don't know if I'm allowed to cross-examine outside the scope of direct examination.
Depends.
Yeah. It's Tiffany.
I can't talk to her.
Why not?
Hi, hon.
Charles, we've got a disaster. The Christoffel Oasis flatware has been discontinued. And everybody's calling my mother and she's sending them to Orgel's. I mean, she's friggin' end up with 100 friggin' ice buckets.
She pouts.
Charles, I know you have to work this week, but I feel very isolated and unsupported having to go through this whole present thing by myself.
Charles turns to stare at the toilet.
Charles, you there?
He smiles.
Charles?
Tiff, I gotta go.
But...
I'll call you later.
What was your question?
Charlie, I need you. You gotta concentrate. You give up now, we're all going to jail!
I'm banned from court. What do you want me to do?
In court, Ricky opens the blinds and raises a window. He waves to Charles, who sits in the car outside and waves a baby monitor. Ricky struggles to lower the blinds. They finally release, hitting him. He sits at the card table and opens his case.
Test, test, test. Give me a hearsay.
Testing. Can you hear me? Give me a hearsay. Can you hear me? Testing. Give me a hearsay.
Charles consults a Morse code chart.
Oh, that's great, Charlie. It's like you're right here, buddy. Oh, you come to judge.
Ms. Gardner.
Yes, Your Honor?
Are the people prepared to go forward with their rebuttal witness?
We are, Your Honor.
Bailiff! Bring in the jury.
Sherman Stone, S-T-O-N-E. I'm currently head of the Utah State Institute for Psychiatric Studies.
Dr. Stone, you wrote a bestseller on the insanity defense, did you not? In which you characterized this defense as misleading and unhelpful.
Objection, lady.
Sustained.
Dr. Stone, what was the thesis of your book?
In a nutshell, it's that the insanity defense is frequently abused and rarely relevant.
I see.
Can we object to that?
Dr. Stone, would you clarify what you mean by frequently abused and rarely?
Ricky closes the case. Charles shakes the monitor.
Oop.
Billy arrives.
Baby,
she takes a blue suit out of the truck and heads toward the courthouse.
I hold degrees from the Stanford University School of Medicine and the University of South Carolina.
Charlie, are we going to object to any of this stuff?
Oh, thank you.
This was in the pocket.
She holds the brochure.
Decorum and attire for groom and best man. Are you best man?
No.
Oh. So you're Not that it's any of my business. It's just that you meet somebody and it feels different, you know? And your mind gets racing, which is really stupid because, let's face it, no matter what kind of fantasies you have, that person is still a stranger if you've only known them for. You know? And then I think to myself, if you want to live alone in the woods, then live alone in the woods. But if you don't, then...
He throws a suit into the truck and kisses her. She kisses him back.
Charlie, give me another one.
Still kissing, they fall into the truck.
Come on, man, help me out here.
She drives off.
Oop.
Two pickup trucks want the parking space.
In your expert opinion, is Mr. Gibbs insane?
Objection, irrelevant.
Mr. Tuttle!
I mean, argumentative. Assumes facts, not in evidence. Badgering. Definitely badgering.
The judge drops his head in his hand. Charles and Billy arrive at the trailer.
And Mr. Gibbs can tell right from wrong?
Probably better than we can.
Thank you, Dr. Stone, for finally clearing that up. Your Honor, I have no further questions.
Do you wish to cross-examine, Mr. Tuttle?
No, sir.
Does the defense wish to rest?
Yep.
Your Honor, may I have a moment to confer?
Thank you.
Why are you selling me out?
I've got no more witnesses.
Put me on the stand. I'm going down. The least you can do is let me fight for myself.
All right, what am I going to ask you?
One question.
Gibbs whispers.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
How can you even ask me that?
Mr. Gibbs.
I do.
Mr. Gibbs, can you think of anything that might have contributed to your current condition?
Condition?
Your chemical dependency.
Well, there was a party one year out by the lake. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes, that's it. Tell us about the party by the lake.
I was 6 years old. It was October 31st. I was hungry. I didn't come from a wealthy family, if you know what I mean.
So, October 31st. Oh, Halloween. Yes, yes, Halloween, where you had your first sweets, where you had your first encounter with the sugar that would eventually enslave you.
Bleeding.
Sustained.
Mr. Gibbs, tell us about that first Halloween.
I was with my girlfriend, Nancy Newcomb. She was 7, and I was holding Mama's old pillowcase full of candy. I remember I was holding it when the pier collapsed, but I can't remember what happened to it afterwards. Not funny.
The pier?
Yeah, that's where the party was. Lake Michigan froze over that year. Bone-chilling cold. That's why, folks, our town isn't just a desert truck stop to me. It's the warm home I've always dreamed of.
Objection! What is the relevance of this line of questioning?
If you'll allow me some leeway, Your Honor, I'm sure it'll be clear very soon.
I can hardly wait.
Yes. You were saying about the party.
Oh, yes, for all us kids at the orphanage.
The orphanage?
Our Lady of Detroit. The sisters gave a Halloween party out on the pier every year. I came dressed as a great pumpkin, but everybody called me Little Pumpkin. But it was so cold that particular year that one of the big boys, Eddie Rawlins and his pals, they built a fire, which got away from them, I guess, because that's when the pier caught fire and collapsed. We fell right through the ice into that freezing water. I helped the little kids struggle out, but those poor, cold little bunnies and angels. It was howling wind.
Your Honor.
Let him finish.
Nancy ran up and gave me a hug and a kiss. She says, "You're my hero, Ben Gibbs. You saved the little ones." But that made Eddie Rawlins mad. And he said, "Hero, heck, he's the one that started the fire." Then all his pals join in. The pumpkin did it, Little Pumpkin. And then all the other kids turned on me. Somebody grabbed a handful of mud and said, "Hey, pumpkin boy." Boom. By the time the sisters got there, I had mud up my nose, in my mouth, in my eyes. I couldn't see. I was on my knees. I was crying so hard, I just couldn't explain the truth. That's when they threw me out, right then and there.
They threw you out of an orphanage?
Well, by the time I got back, they had shut the gates, locked them, chained. Padlocks. There I was, my poor little hands freezing to those metal gates, my pumpkin suit whipping in the wind. Let me in, please. But that's when I caught a glimpse in a second story window, a glimpse of my only friend in the world, Nancy Newcomb. She was clean now, warm and dry. She was talking to a kind-looking man and woman. She was being adopted. I was so happy for her because she was truly good. She said, "Bye, Benny. You're my hero. I'll always remember you. Look in our hiding place. I left something for you. Bye-bye." I never saw Nancy again, but in her secret hiding place, I found it. Tootsie Roll. She knew it was my favorite. I'm sorry.
The judge offers Gibbs tissues. The jurors wipe their eyes.
It's a penny! He sold pennies for $17.99!
It's also an engraving.
Order!
Well, here's an engraving. You give me $17.99! Come on! Give it to me!
Ms. Gardner!
Come on, Gibbs, here's another. Here's 678 engravings times $17.99. What is that? $143.92. You give me $143.92!
Miss Gardner, control yourself!
Me! Me!
Quiet!
At the trailer. Billy, wrapped in a sheet, rests her head on Charles' stomach. She pulls his arm over her.
Oh, God, I'm late for work.
He pulls her to him and kisses her. Ricky enters the hotel and starts up the stairs.
Bravo. That was quite a performance.
Thanks.
I feel so badly for that poor man. I mean, is there something I could do for him? Maybe give him my house or something?
You wanted to see me?
Right you are. Here, 1 year minimum security. I don't want to ever see this case again for the rest of my life.
I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I probably said it really fast. You win. And here's your plea bargain. Don't mention it.
You want to have a drink?
What?
You know, like two warriors after the battle, toasting the effort. Want to?
Where do you come from? You paying for this drink?
In the bar.
I don't mind losing. I never mind losing. A case is a case. It's just that now I have to explain this to Mr. Parnell, and that's going to be hard.
Who's Mr. Parnell?
He's a man that went into business with Benny Gibbs. That's a sad story. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Well, he's this old man. He used to run his own business. It went belly up, but he managed to save a little cash for his old age. Gibbs finds him, shows him this big, fancy business plan, shows him how he's going to triple his money in 6 months, even if the business fails. Even if it fails.
Yeah, so what happened?
Never got a chance to fail. Gibbs skipped town with the money. Parnell lost his entire retirement account. Now he won't come out of his apartment. He won't testify because he doesn't want the whole world thinking he's some old fool. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Sadder if it was true.
What?
You believed me. See how easy it is to win when you lie?
Oh, you made that up.
Every bit of it.
Well, good for you.
Well, at least I didn't do it on the stand.
I didn't do it on the stand either.
Oh, right, right. Your client did. Big difference.
Look, I didn't know that Gibbs was lying. Not when I put him on.
Well, no, you're a good lawyer. No paper trail, total deniability. That way you didn't put a perjured testimony on the stand. You don't care. It's all the same thing, right? Truth, lies, lies, truth. You're the most devastatingly handsome man I ever met. You know, you really missed your calling. You should have been an actor. What kind of law do you practice?
What?
What is it? Is it a big firm? A small firm? What's it called?
Whitfield & Morris. What do you mean that I should be an actor?
You're amazing. You could have won an Oscar in there. Whitfield & Morris. I think I've heard of them. Are you a partner?
I just
became partner? Well, congratulations. So, what do you have? Big corner office? View of the city?
Yeah,
there's a view.
Of course there is. Where did you go to law school?
Yale.
Yale? Well, there's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I have a big office, I have a big car, and a big, I'm big.
He downs his shot and leaves.
I'll see you later.
He turns back.
Yes, there really is a Mr. Barnett.
At dusk. Billy and Charles arrive at the hotel. He kisses her, she pulls away and enters the building. Charles takes out his keys. He finds the brochure. Ricky carries a bottle toward Charles, who sits in a wood-framed chair by the hotel pool. Ricky sits in the adjacent chair.
Got the plea bargain. It's 1 year minimum security. Guy's a bum, Charlie.
I know.
Ricky takes a swig from the bottle.
And do you know why he's a bum? Because he's never taken responsibility for anything he's ever done. Because he's got a story for everything. And if the truth catches up to him, then hey, he just tells one more lie to stay ahead of it. Sound familiar?
You're right. I'm a bum.
No, you're not. I'm the bum.
No, I'm a bum.
No, I'm the... Why are you a bum?
Charles hands Ricky the brochure.
Because you made me rent a tuxedo?
Because in 3 days, I'm going to get married to a girl who...
Charles waves his hand. Ricky passes the bottle.
What is this?
No, it's bourbon and Dr. Pepper. I guess we can get out of here now.
Yeah, I guess we can.
That's good anyway.
Yeah, that's great.
I guess it turned out okay after all.
Yep. Terrific.
The sprinklers start. At home. Miss Gardner lets her hair fall. Ricky walks on a residential street.
Listen, I want to tell you the truth. I've got to tell you the truth. Can I talk to you now, please? Can I talk to you?
Tuttle, listen, I have to talk to you.
You're wet.
Yeah, well, I'm not who you think I am.
Would you please leave? I'm going to bed.
No, wait. Now, look, you wanted the truth, so I'm giving you the truth.
I'm not Charlie Tuttle.
I'm not a partner at Whitfield & Morris. I'm not even a lawyer.
What?
My name is Richard Rietti. You thought I was an actor because I am an actor.
Wait. I lost this case to an actor?
Well, I'm a pretty good actor. You said so yourself.
Get out.
Wait a minute.
Now.
You wanted the truth.
This is a crime, Tuttle.
I don't care.
I'm a prosecutor.
He sees a black helmet on a chair.
Oh, my God, it's you.
Hey, get out. Now.
In the desert, with your hair.
It's not me.
He holds the helmet.
Of course it's you.
Don't you look at me like that.
She pushes him toward the door. He kisses her.
That's it, Tuttle. You're in a lot of trouble. Get out of my house.
Well, you kissed me back.
No, I did not.
No, you did. I know you did.
Shut up.
You kissed me back. You kissed me back. I know you kissed me back.
She turns her back to the door at the hotel. Charles enters the room. On the table are three rose boutonnieres.
Pick one.
Oh, God.
Surprise.
How did you get here?
I chartered a plane. Now, is that any way to welcome your beloved? Oh, you're wet.
I fell in the pool.
Oh. You know, I hung up the phone with you and I felt so distant and remote. Didn't you feel that way?
I was in Nevada.
I know, and that's what I told myself. I said I can choose to stay here and turn into a righteous witch. Or I can choose to go to Nevada and get the attention I need. It's like Dr. Perlstein said about taking responsibility for your circumstances.
Right, right.
I guess I just came here because I needed to hear that you love me. Do you love me?
How can you even ask that question?
Oh, I love you too.
She grins and backs into the bedroom. He grimaces. Tiffany stands in the doorway in a garter belt and bra.
Holy God, what are you doing?
Injecting spontaneity. They say it doesn't have to be lost. You just have to plan ahead and make a little time for it in a busy schedule. Charles will be so romantic. You know, I ordered champagne and strawberries.
You what?
Billy delivers a linen-covered cart to the door.
Well, they didn't have strawberries. Actually, he said the girl would bring seasonal fruit.
What girl?
I don't know. Some waitress.
No, wait a minute. Why don't you go to the bedroom? And I'll be in just a minute. Billy! Hi.
You are the greatest guy in the whole world. I love champagne. I used to lie there in college and try.
What's the extra whipped cream for?
She pulls the card into the room.
You know, Hank kept wondering why I went through the whole fridge looking for a really cool bottle. He goes, Billy, what's the difference? I go, you know, Hank, I'm just trying to do my...
She turns to see Tiffany.
My job.
What's the fruit?
Pardon?
The seasonal fruit? You speak English? Habla.
Peaches.
Oh, good, my faith. Come to bed, sweetie.
Billy drops the champagne in the bucket and presents the check.
Just listen.
Guess you were the groom. Look, it's not a federal case. We saw each other, we liked each other, and it was nice. Really nice.
It's really complicated.
No, it's not. It's fine.
She kisses his cheek. She stops in the hall and puts her hand over her mouth. She She brushes away tears.
And I said, look, if you don't want to wear peach, then don't be a bridesmaid. I don't care what your base skin tone is.
In court.
Big day, huh?
Oh, yes.
You got it all planned out?
Well, I don't think that's going to be necessary.
Morning, Counselor.
Morning.
Do you have a signed plea bargain? Or we can't dismiss.
Plea bargain? What plea bargain?
You win, Benny. 1 year minimum security.
No way. We got these turkeys on the run.
What?
I'm not going to sign anything. I'm innocent.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You screwed 65 people. I'll sign the damn thing.
Court is in session. The Honorable Paul Z. Graft is presiding.
They were legitimate business transactions.
All right, on the record of the Gibbs matter, I understand we have a plea bargain to look forward to.
No way.
Actually, Your Honor, my client has changed his mind. Why am I surprised? Bailiff, the jury, are you prepared to close, Counselor?
I think I'll waive my right to go first. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Fine, fine. Are you prepared to close?
Close?
Your closing argument. That does usually conclude these little festivities.
Of course.
The jury files between Ricky and Miss Gardner. In the car.
It's not the dress that bothers me. It's the whole question of friendship. And I figure if she's willing to clash with the flowers and screw up my whole color palette, then she's really not my friend to begin with.
Charles pulls to a stop in front of the courthouse.
Can you hang on a second?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of hard for me to know what to say here. What can be said about this man and everything he's done? Oh, what can be said in his defense? Well, he lied. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he lied. He took their money. That's true. But why did he lie? See, makes a person lie. Well, there's all kinds of reasons why people don't tell the truth. There's the sugar. There's the years and years of candy. I mean, you heard all the testimony. You probably don't believe that, do you? No. See, I didn't think so. And there's the money, right? Yeah, he could have done it just for the money.
They nod.
But is that the only reason? See, I think maybe there's another reason, too. I think maybe he was lying to himself. Maybe he'd been lying for so long, it started to feel like he was telling. I mean, maybe he's the person that he conned the most. I mean, we all do that, you know. All keep a little bit of ourselves hidden. Because if we didn't, well, then we'd have to look at who we are, who we really are. And if we didn't like it, well, we'd have nobody to blame but ourselves.
Ricky sees Charles stand in the shadows at the back.
So the question is, does this excuse Benny Gibbs? Well, that's up to you.
Ricky sits and turns to see the door at the back close.
You stupid jerk!
Tiff!
How can you do this to me?
Look, I wasn't being honest.
Don't give me that garbage! I have 300 people coming to Beverly Hills to kill! Who the hell am I supposed to marry now?
Are you prepared to close, Ms. Gardner?
Yes, I am, Your Honor. The defendant sold pennies for $17.99.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it appears that this case is almost over.
Charles sits in front of the courthouse. Kelly drives up and sees his luggage next to him. He stares at a boutonniere. He looks up to see her. She slowly gets out of her truck. Billy jogs across the street smiling. He takes her in his arms and spins her around. They kiss. He offers the boutonniere.
Madam Foreman, I understand you have reached a verdict.
We have, Your Honor.
How do you find?
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Benjamin Gibbs, guilty as charged.
Hallelujah.
Nice job.
Okay, I'll take the plea bargain.
Hey, Liv, take him away.
Oh, come on, Judge. A deal's a deal.
Bye-bye, pumpkin boy.
Just because I was 5 minutes late to the party.
Court is adjourned.
Nice clothes.
At the trailer.
So you're the lawyer. Wow.
Yeah, look, I didn't want to lie. I mean, I didn't mean to lie.
You know how I said I got a flat tire on the way to school?
Yeah.
Well, I got it going the opposite direction. I flunked out, and I was on my way home. Didn't want to face my dad, what? So...
You could have told me that.
I just did.
Charles holds his hand palm out. He scurries behind the trailer and returns with a tire tied with a wide red ribbon.
Huh? Huh?
Well...
Okay, yeah. So it's not the most romantic present in the world. I know that. But my address is on the inside room.
It's the sweetest gift I've ever gotten.
Description written by Terry Grossman. Video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com. Wearing the helmet, Ricky rides behind Miss Gardner.
Okay, yeah. All right. We should definitely slow down now, okay? Wait, no. Don't go faster.
Watch it.
What am I supposed to hold on to?
Not that.
Well, I gotta hold on to something. It's dangerous.
Turn me loose. They ride into the desert.